communicating with your asset manager when it comes to any of the mistakes on the financials, when it comes to explaining what a syndication or how this real estate investing works. We think we go in there and we want to just talk about leasing and we want to talk about maintenance, but there's so much more that happens behind the scenes. Hey there, real estate enthusiasts. Get ready for a thrilling ride as we dive into the world of multifamily real estate investing. I'm Susie Sevier.
And I'm Michael Barnhart, and you're tuning in to the Adventures of a Real Estate Investor podcast, where we break down the complexities of multifamily investing with a focus on asset management in a fun, digestible, and accessible way.
Join us on this journey as we unravel the secrets of seasoned experts and share insights to make real estate investing accessible for everyone, with a special focus on investing to make an impact. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, we've got you covered with tips, tricks, and industry knowledge that'll empower you on your real estate adventure.
So buckle up for this new season packed with valuable information, entertaining discussions, and a few surprises along the way. We're your hosts,
Susie Sevier
and Michael Barnhart, and this is the Adventures of a Real Estate Investor podcast. Let's embark on this multifamily adventure together.
Woo. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Adventures of a Real Estate Investor. I'm Susie.
And I'm Michael. We're excited you joined us for this adventure.
Yay. So today is part two of the lessons learned from the asset management workshop that I went to in Austin. It was a GoBundance event, and we're just really excited to give you
to share
the value.
All the cool things that Susie learned.
Yeah, like after the part one, which is just the episode right before this, afterwards, Michael and I were like, man, like we could have kept going. There's just so much with asset management. Mm-hmm. It never ends.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm glad we broke it up into several different episodes here. So
totally.
Yeah. So you'll kick us off with the first little tidbit.
Yeah. I'm ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it. Let's dive right in.
How can we teach the property management staff or the maintenance or the regional or the CEO to think like an owner?
Ooh. Mm-hmm. That's a good deep thinking question.
Yeah.
Because I think it varies, right? From experience level, from property to property, right? It varies in experience level from on-site to regional, regional to even an owner or CEO of a property management company, as well as the maintenance staff, right? I think we have the highest turnover in maintenance staff probably than any other. But anyway.
Highest turnover?
Yeah, I think so.
We have the highest.
Yeah, we do. Okay. Yeah, we'll just say we do. It's really tough to find a maintenance person. But then going back to how to teach them how to think like an owner, right? Yeah. So I think the best thing that's, well, I'll let Susie elaborate on this a little bit too here in a minute. But I think the best thing that we have done is teach them what or who the owners are of the property, right? Mm-hmm. And teach them, a lot of our properties are syndications. So we teach them exactly what a syndication is.
Yeah.
Understand that, hey, even though Susie and I are the owners and asset managers that you deal with on a day-to-day basis, there also could be 30 to 40 other people standing behind us, right? As part of the limited partnership team and helping them understand that, right?
Yeah, that was the biggest part. Because like everyone kind of gave their ideas. And for me, it was, then you have to explain that they also have the potential to be an owner, mm-hmm. right? Like, this is how I started. Like, you can invest in real estate as well. This is how it's similar, right? Because just for like a story, like how it's kind of like a stock in a stock market, like you invest in stock market, don't you? Okay, this is how this is like that amplified and 100 times better. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
But it's really like over communicating why you need something done. Why are these KPIs being filled out? Why does it matter if I stay under the budget? Where does the money come from? All those things, right? And even for the maintenance, since they are seeing, the residents in their intimate home, like it's also important for them to think like an owner, even like an owner in a house. Like if someone else was in my space, how would I want to be treated mm-hmm. right now? So that was like a big one to all think on. I enjoyed that one a lot.
Yeah, it's always a tricky one, right? But I feel like once we educated our on-site and our regionals exactly how we operate, I think it made them understanding, hey, Susie and I aren't, these rich people mm-hmm. who just own these outright, yeah. right?
But even if actually the money's still treated the same,
yeah,
like
exactly
it right. comes from a place. And if we earned it to where we could buy it outright, like then it's the exact same thing. We're just bringing other people along in the journey.
That's absolutely true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And to show them what, you know, cash flow means and everything like that and how to keep to a budget. I think that's very, very important, right? Because even though it's like basic finances, you'll be surprised how many people generally not taught in the education system in America. So
yeah, like,
we don't get into the hell of those politics.
Even how to just read out like a profit and loss statement, right? So they can actually be like, oh, property is cash flowing or it isn't cash flowing. And, you know, like they will probably also have a goal to make it one of cash flow. Yeah,
exactly. When you teach them about that, I'm going to keep going. When you teach them about things like this too, and you say, hey, we need to like really be on lookout for how to cut expenses, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, hey, come with some ideas to us about how you think we can cut expenses, right? For example, getting rid of the paper towel holder and the soap dispenser that's
branded
or whatever from some company, right? Like some company doesn't need to be coming in, you know, unless you're like an A-class property where you want everything very bougie, right? If we're like a C-class property, so that you can just get like a little hand pump in there and a paper towel, a little rack or whatever. So like, and then you just have your on-site replacing those things as necessary, right? That's one way to cut costs, mm-hmm. right? Just like thinking along those lines, right? How would you cut costs? Like, oh, I'll just, you know, the on-site was like, hey, I'll just sweep up around here and we can reduce the cleaner by coming every other week versus every week in the
mm-hmm.
leasing office, right? So yeah, just empowering them as well to make those decisions is really cool.
Totally.
So,
cool.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The next tidbit or thing to think on, right, is think about what the property managers actually control and focus on that. Like sometimes there are so many things going on that people can be very quick to blame the property manager. But again, like the property manager only has so much control. So we have to just remember that part too. Like we expect them, I think I mentioned this before, like to wear and juggle 50,000 hats, but then we give them no grace. So we have to do that.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if we talked about it on this podcast or not. We just had a candid discussion about it, but like, or maybe we were talking to somebody else about this, but I remember a recent conversation that I had. It was in our multifamily innovation council that we're part of. We were asked to hire somebody, a property manager, who's really good at the face of the property, being that person who is a really good salesperson, right? They can close, they can lease and everything like that. You know, we're also asking them to manage a budget, right? Manage a budget, be really good at finances, like cut expenses and find creative ways to do that, right? And then also managing a maintenance person, right? For asking them to say, hey, here we need to learn, you need to learn how to organize and plan, basically be a project manager on a smaller scale for that property. You need to wear all these hats, like Susie just mentioned.
Yeah.
Those are the three main big hats, right? That you have to wear as a property manager. But each one of those roles is typically filled, you know, by a certain personality. And we're asking so much of our on-site manager for the amount that we're able to pay them, right? And so we just have to make sure that we give them grace where grace is needed, right? Like as Susie mentioned, and just come with questions that aren't that pointed and that mm-hmm. accusatory, right?
Yeah, because while we're expecting them to do all these things at some point, we're also expecting them not to fail, which doesn't mm-hmm. work at all. So another topic that got brought up is ways to incentivize the staff just to be able to get, you know, expenses down or delinquency down, right? Like really focus on things where they can't just pad the paper, right? To where occupancy is a really easy one to pad because you could just fill it up with everyone. Where delinquency, you really have to think about who you put in the property before just wanting to fill it up. That's one example. But like, do we have quarterly incentives? Do we have yearly incentives? Like, how do we choose how to influence and what do those incentives look like?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one, right? So it's all owner, you know, at discretion of the owner, right? And for us, we kind of just do it. I don't know if we do it quarterly or monthly, but we kind of just do it whenever we feel like, right? It's always out there, right? If a property manager knows that, well, they know from us that like if they can get zero delinquency
mm-hmm.
at the end of the month, we're going to reward them with something, right?
Yeah.
Whether that's, you know, giving a gift certificate to an airline or giving a gift certificate to Coach or, you know, a spa day or something like that, right?
Hiking boots.
That's been another thing too. Like, or whatever. Be like, hey, you choose what you want. You know,
yeah.
What do you want? We'll set this goal. What do you want? Hey, whenever you get to zero delinquency, guess what? You get that thing,
yeah.
right? So we also let them choose and give them the power, right? To make sure that it's actually something that they want to work towards.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's hard, right? Because some people had said that they will ask the maintenance with the property manager, even if they have $5,000. $5,000 might also be too much, but like some small amount so that they can put it into the deal and really see how it can grow. Somebody else talked about doing percentages. Oh, if you can get the NOI down to this, this, or this, right? Like that is a percentage of, I think, like that month's income. I'm not 100% sure, but they did like a tiered approach where the manager and the maintenance had to work together. So that was another thing, like whole team incentives, just so that, right? Because like sometimes on these calls, it's like, hey, how are you, you and you getting along? Like, oh, well, like I never ever hear the bad parts. And those are the bad parts that I want to hear so that, right, we can also come together to help with a solution. But when you really have to work towards something, it makes a difference. So man, I'm going to try, okay, Drive by Daniel Pink. This got brought up during this time. And the whole book pretty much goes around that people aren't necessarily like truly motivated by money. Like there's a lot more that goes into it. And I'm going to pull it up so that I can read it to you. But so the three things that drive us are autonomy. So we're in control of what we do and how we do it, plus mastery. So improving our skills and ourselves, plus purpose. So working towards something worthwhile. And this goes back to what we were even talking about, like how to make them think like an owner. All the things that gave us autonomy, mastery, and purpose, like just explain it to everybody else involved, right? Like help them become a part of the same vision that you had. And then these incentives mean something totally different.
Absolutely. So we talked about incentives for hitting a certain NOI target, hitting a certain leasing target, but also not necessarily focusing on the leasing aspect, but also the delinquency aspect, because that's more important to make sure you have quality residents in there. One thing that I like to mention as well, before we move on to the next topic, is incentives once you go to sell the property, right? You know, eventually the property manager is going to find out that the property is selling, right? But if you say, hey, if you keep the occupancy at this amount, keep the income coming in at this amount, as well as keeping the NOI, driving that NOI target even higher, you know, for the months leading to closing, then you'll be rewarded with XYZ, right? So just think about that too.
Yeah, because then that incentive, like there's a lot that goes into that too when you're telling them that you're going to sell, because they immediately could do like fight or flight mode and think like, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose my job. And so really giving them something to work towards. Yes, I'm sure Amy probably has a goal in the background that we don't know about, or things that are happening, puzzle pieces to where these managers are going. But like if we can keep them excited about the sale and to keep the property going really strong, like that's huge.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Yeah. Cool. So to talk about like, because with making sure the property is in a financially strong place, I want to move into access to reporting. So whatever software your property manager uses, and ours, for example, uses AppFolio, I want to be able to see every single report that the CEO can see, that the regional can see. Those are the reports I want to see. Even the CFO. Those are all, I have access to all of those. Those are something I should have access to 24/7. And that's really just, I mean, I could go on forever, yeah, but this absolutely creates visibility, accountability. The list goes on and on and on. But yeah, then you really have an opportunity to be really intimate with all of the details. And you also, as an asset manager, cannot say, well, I didn't know. Like you didn't know because you didn't have access, and you need the access.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, on the other side too, it also saves a lot of time, right? Because if you're always constantly asking for a rent roll or a delinquency report or some financial stuff from the property, that's taking, you know, when you send an email to the on-site or send an email to the regional or something like that, like you're taking a lot of time away from those people that could be focusing on leasing or other tasks that you have them doing. So that saves a lot of time, and you have it access right at your fingertips too, which is great. Sometimes having access to everything is I wouldn't say overwhelming, but I do go down rabbit hole sometime, right? Or you just look at something, you're like, oh, I want to dig into this a little bit further.
Yeah.
And then you're 10 clicks later, you're into some GL code going back from the origin, and you're trying to figure out why there's three windows that have been replaced over the last 6 months. And
in one particular
in one
apartment.
Specific unit, right? Yeah. So anyways, it's awesome though. I love those kind of like rabbit hunts, if you will, or whatever you want to call them, rabbit holes. So
yeah,
you take yourself.
Yeah, we don't hunt rabbits. But I liked where you were going with that. Even beyond like Michael saying, playing or having the experience of seeing the window being replaced in the apartment 3 times in the last 6 months. But you also get to like learn about the residents that are coming in and out. You get to learn about how the manager on site actually calls back applicants, what form, you know, what they want to do. Yes, it also helps you like when you're looking through the general ledger is like, hey, we've paid this same bill. Like, I think it's a duplicate because the manager missed the duplicate. I'm guessing like the assistant. Yeah, the accounting team missed the duplicate. So like how many times are you paying people twice? Like, which is just crazy to me that something then is not said on the back end. But anyways.
Yeah. For example, right? Recently, I had an invoice that I saw came in. It was paid out in, let's say, I think it was like February and then again in March. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. Like that invoice, and it's for the same exact unit. And I was like, we did the same exact thing. It looks like the same exact description and everything like that. But the invoice number was a little bit different, right? Where like the L was like a one or something like, or it was like an I versus a one, the number one, right? So like somebody who obviously input it twice, but first thought the invoice, because so a lot of the invoices from these vendors are like handwritten as well. Yeah. So sometimes you can't read their handwriting. So it could be a one or it could be a
seven,
an L or a seven, right? So anyways, you know, long story short, it ended up being a duplicate, but we had two different invoice numbers technically because it was just a typo from inputting error, right? So yeah, because how it was interpreted.
Totally.
Anyways, so little things like that too, like having access to everything, you're able to review those items.
Yeah.
Those are duplicates.
Even the numbers that are like automatic, right? Like your asset management fee or the property management fee, something that seems to be like the same percentage every single month, like spot check those to make sure that was carried over correctly. Because other people are also going to assume that it's on autopilot and it's good to go.
Yeah. I mean, another example, you know, reviewing the financials for this for March of 2024, like I found one and I was like, when I'm going through the income, the additional income. So we have what is known as like RLL, which is like a damage waiver. Basically, it's like renter's insurance for the residents. But it says, so, you know, it gives them like a $25,000 coverage limit, but it also gives us $100,000, depending on the size of the coverage, right? $100,000 per unit or whatever. So that's a whole nother episode. I don't want to get into all that, but basically it helps us.
Whole other episode.
Yeah. I'll stop there. But it was income coming in. Income coming in. I saw it was like, it like decreased significantly from the month previously, even though it was still positive. I was like, why did this go down? Right. So I did some more exploring and then I started asking questions and then found out there was actually a billing error with the RL system on their end,
which is
automatically billed us and nobody checked that. Right. And it just pulled money out of our operations account. And I was like, hang on a second. So anyways, where they billed us for like all the units or whatever versus just a handful of units. So anyways, we got that sorted out.
Yeah. Yeah. So just write all these things, like these automations can make mistakes. People can make mistakes. So it's really to bring it even full circle. We have to give lots of grace. Granted, keeping people into like a strict guideline is also necessary. Don't get me wrong, but mistakes happen where we never see them. And so that's why asset management is also so important. Somebody needs to be checking consistently or else, right? If you have an absent asset manager, then these get mix and the compounding, that is the worst part. Mm-hmm. So before we go, I do have a multifamily MythBuster. Are you ready?
Oh, let's do it. Yeah.
You can skip the uncomfortable conversations with your property manager and still have success.
Okay. Bust that myth for me.
So I want to bust that myth. What we were talking about at the beginning of the call, right? Communicating with your asset manager when it comes to any of the mistakes on the financials, when it comes to explaining what a syndication or how this real estate investing works. We think we go in there and we want to just talk about leasing and we want to talk about maintenance, but there's so much more that happens behind the scenes. So get used to having some of those uncomfortable conversations. You'll probably learn a lot about even what drives your property manager, which is huge because then if you go back to incentives, it all just fits. So have those difficult conversations with your property manager, and the ones I'm talking about are the ones that don't have to just do with the KPIs.
Yeah. And if you're not good at having difficult or challenging conversations and you prefer to, you know, not have those, then find somebody on your team who does, right? I am one of the people who do not like to have uncomfortable conversations.
So guess you get
But Susie is really good at it. She is very good at it and she can do it with grace and authority, which is absolutely necessary in this. So yeah, thank you all for listening to the show. We're going to continue this in another part 3, because we still have so much information we want to share with you from this conference. So thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, explore more, adventure awaits.
And that's a wrap for another episode of The Adventures of a Real Estate Investor. We hope you've enjoyed today's journey through the multifamily real estate landscape with us.
Before you go, don't forget to show some love by leaving a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback is invaluable and helps us continue delivering content that matters to you. Plus, if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button so you never miss out on the latest episodes.
As always, we appreciate your support and can't wait to bring you even more insights, expert interviews, and entertaining discussions in the next episode. Until then, keep exploring, keep investing, and remember, the adventure continues. Thanks for being part of the Adventurers family. Woo!
Woo!